This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, over 30 years on the radio, there's one message that stands out as the most requested message I've ever given. Interestingly enough, it's from the James series, the series we're now in on Cross Hope. It's a message about anger from the first chapter. More people requested copies of this message than any other message I've given in going on 32 years on the radio. I want you to listen as we begin with a few comments as to why that is, and then we'll get right into the message. For some reason, more people requested tapes or CDs of the message that I'm going to give today than any other single message. And I made the comment last week, why is that? And I made this observation, we're all the victims of somebody else's anger. Every man, every woman, every young person in this room, we're all victims of somebody else's anger. But don't stop there, we're all victimizers. We have victimized someone else with our anger. And somebody else has been on the receiving end of our anger. And I've noticed this, is that people have total recall, complete 100% recall when it comes to remembering the angry events that they've been on the receiving end of. And then we have amnesia when it comes to remembering what we have done and said to other people. You have amnesia, and so do I. And we have total recall, and so do I, about the things that have happened to us. Carol Tavris wrote a book called Anger, The Misunderstood Emotion. It's an interesting book. I would highly recommend it. She said that one of the assumptions most prevalent in the anger business today is the physical or verbal ventilation of anger is healthy, that suppressed hostility is medically dangerous. She believed that there used to be a widespread belief that if a person can be convinced, allowed, or helped to express his or her feelings, he or she in some way will benefit from it. The belief that to discharge one's feelings is beneficial is also prevalent, she says, among the general public. People are encouraged to get it off their chest, to blow off steam. Just let it out. And she said our society has come to accept that there's some benefit from that. But then she says this, is there really benefit from it? I notice, and she is a psychologist, she said, I notice that the people who are the most prone to give vent to their anger, get angrier, not less angry. Would you listen to that again? I notice that the people who are the most prone to give vent to their anger get angrier, not less angry. I observe a lot of hurt feelings among the recipients of rage. And she said, I can plot the stages of the typical ventilating marital argument. See if you can relate to this. She said, in the typical fight within a marriage or a family, there's a precipitating event. Something happens. Then there's the angry outburst. There's shouted recriminations back and forth. Sometimes there's screaming or crying. Then there's the furious peak, sometimes accompanied by physical assault, exhaustion, sullen apology, or just sullenness. She says the cycle is repeated the next day, the next week, or the next month. What in this is cathartic? Screaming? Throwing a dish? Slamming doors? Do these actions cause the anger to vanish or the angry person to feel better? Not that I can see. Not that I can see. Carol Tavris, in my opinion, simply discovered a principle taught in the Word of God in the book of James, the first chapter, that says simply this, man's anger does not bring about or produce the righteous life that God desires. That's going to be the key thought this week. Man's anger does not bring about or produce the righteous life that God desires. Well, part two of this message on New Year's Eve Day on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131. God bless you. Well, if you listened to Cross Hope yesterday, you know that we began another message in the James series, and it happens to be the most requested message I've ever given in over 30 years on the radio. It's about anger. Anger in your life and in my life. From the book of James, where the key thought is, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Let's continue with part two.
Let's read it together in James 1,
James 1, beginning at verse 19. We're preaching through this book of the Bible, and this is our third message. It goes like this: My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And then if you'll go to verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. His religion is worthless. Is there ever a time to be righteously angry? I think there is. The Bible speaks of that which is called righteous indignation. But I want to tell you something and define it in a way that my guess is most people have never heard. You've never heard of this definition of righteous indignation. Jesus expressed indignation in the temple when people were changing money and the booths were set up. You remember that message from Luke. But he was angry on behalf of his heavenly Father. Listen to that again. Jesus was angry on behalf of his heavenly Father. My thought is this, that righteous indignation is when you're angry on behalf of the Father. Most of the anger in your life, most of the anger in my life is self-centered. It is egocentric. I didn't get my way. People didn't jump when I said to jump, and that's the way you react. Most of the anger, if you're honest, if you're totally honest, most of the anger in your life is self-centered or egocentric. Carol Tavris says most of the anger in our lives stems from a desire to be in control, to be in charge, to be powerful, or to be perfect. In other words, she said you can trace most of your anger. It's my desire to be in charge. It's my desire to be in control. It's my desire to be perfect. It's my desire to have power. And so when people cross those desires, then something happens. It's called, I get mad. And you get mad. She talks about some myths of anger very quickly this morning. The one myth that people have is that people have anger that's an uncontrollable reflex. And she said there is an uncontrollable aspect to it. Some people do get out of control. But she believes that anger is a chosen response. Men choose to be angry. Women choose to be angry. Young people choose to be angry. They make a choice. It's an act of the will, according to her. Another myth is that letting off steam or venting anger is healthy. She says venting anger usually promotes more anger, not suppresses it. Then another one is that angry people aren't responsible for their behavior. She points out that even in fits of rage, people are in control. She said one of her clients was a man that would go into rages at his house, and when he would really go off the deep end, he would start grabbing things around the house and breaking them. But his wife pointed out that when he would go through his rages, he would come up to an object that was important to him, belonged to him, and he'd skip it, and he'd go on to the next He would go to the next piece of furniture or dish or whatever. And he was very selective in what he broke. And her point was, he was really in control. He was not out of control. Because if he were truly out of control, he would have destroyed everything. But he was selective in his destruction.
Well, Happy New Year today on New Year's Day from all of us at Cross Hope Radio Ministry. We're in part three today of the most requested message I've ever given on the radio in over 30 years of broadcast. Doesn't seem possible. But this is a message about anger from James, the first chapter. We're all the recipients or receivers of someone else's anger. But if we're honest, we're also victimizers. We have victimized other people with our anger. You have, and so have I. Let's listen to part three on New Year's Day, 2014.
Now then, the verse I want to focus in, if we could bring up verse 20. This is the key verse. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Sometimes when you look at a verse in the Bible, you can argue from in the affirmative, in the positive, but you can also make a statement from the reverse of it. If man's anger does not bring about or produce the righteous life that God desires, what does it bring about? This is scary, folks. If my anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires, I want to argue from the negative.
that man's anger produces the life that Satan desires. I've heard people talk about being in the grips of some sin. I've heard men and women talk about being in the grips of alcohol or drugs or pornography or this or that. I think some people are in the grip of anger, and they don't even know it. Some people are in the grip of rage, and they don't even know it. And it's been a continual thing that they have learned and they have developed over the years. We use anger to do this. This is interesting. Some of you have done this. Have you ever found yourself using your anger to justify your behavior? Well, the reason I did that, you see, is because I was so mad. Therefore, it's okay. That's how we do it. I was so angry in that situation that I let her have it. But you've got to understand, I was so angry. Therefore, my behavior is justified. And Carol Tavris said, where did we ever get that? That I'm justified in doing A, B, and C simply because I'm mad. We're not justified in doing it. I want you to do an experiment with me just for a minute. And this could be painful for some people. But I want us to do it anyway. I want you to think about the last time that you lost your temper. You, not your wife, not your husband, but you. The last time you totally lost it, did you feel warm and fuzzy afterwards? Did you feel spiritual? Did you have a sense of the holy in your life? No. My guess is if you think back and reach back to that moment, you feel tremendous guilt and you feel a sense of uncleanness, a sense of a lack of holiness in your life. Why? Because James says, the Lord God Almighty through James says, man's anger does not produce or bring about the righteous life that God desires. I want you to think about the last time that you were on the receiving end of someone else's anger. Did it make you feel closer to the Lord? No. Did you want to go out and read your Bible? No. You see what I'm getting at is that we can think of all the damage that has been done, either by us, if we're honest, or the damage that we have received because of someone else's anger and rage. That's true with all of us. We're on both sides of this fence. Remember that, not just one side or the other.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we're going to talk about some physiological things that happen because of anger. I'm no expert medically on this, but I'm going to quote some people that are, who talk about the physical ramifications of anger, but then also look through a series of scriptures in the book of Proverbs that talk about the damaging effects of anger spiritually in your life. There are spiritual ramifications to anger in your life and mine. That continues tomorrow on Cross Hope.
I want to talk about several things about man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. I'm going to use some scripture in a second. But this is according to a medical journal called Circulation. People most prone to anger are almost 3 times more likely to have a heart attack than those with low anger in a recent study of 13,000 participants. Another journal, the Archives of Internal Medicine, says that medical students who become angry quickly when under stress were 3 times more likely to develop premature heart disease and 5 times more likely to have an early heart attack than their calmer colleagues in a 2002 study. So there's from a medical standpoint, you've got the medical side of things saying anger doesn't produce good things. Now I want you to read a series of scriptures with me. Just follow as we go through Proverbs, just a series of statements here. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Anytime you see the word fool in Scripture, in the Old Testament, it's not talking about somebody with a low IQ. The word fool means somebody with a moral deficiency or a character deficiency. Somebody who's flawed, and that's what a fool is. A fool is hot-headed and reckless. Let's bring up the next one. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. The next one. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Hot-tempered people usually stir up more foment and stir up more trouble. And any time there's an argument in a family, go back and trace who started it. You know, try to do a DNA study on it. Where did that come from? Who was behind that? And usually you will find a hot-tempered man or woman. Next. Better a patient man than a warrior, and a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Anger can destroy a family, and anger can destroy a church. Do you know churches can be known for their angry attitudes? When I ministered in Columbus, there was a minister friend of mine who came to me one day, and he was real distraught, and I said, "What's bothering you?" And he said, "Well, we just had a really bad thing happen in the recent weeks." And I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Well, we had a congregational meeting at our church right after the morning worship service." And he said, "Randy, do you notice that when you announce those that most visitors leave after the service? They don't stay." I said, "Oh, yeah, that's what most people do. They just get up and leave. They don't want to stay for a business meeting. I've been at churches visiting, and I didn't stay for their meeting. I took off." And he said, "We had this couple visiting. They were curious what a meeting would be like, so they stayed. Never had people visit before." And he said, "During the meeting, there were some heated exchanges." He said, "There were two men and one woman that got so angry, they were red-faced, veins bulging in the neck kind of thing, eyes popping out. One man was beating his fist on the back of the pew during this meeting." And the minister told me, he said, "That Tuesday night, I went calling on this new couple that had visited. They filled out a card and I went to see them." And he said, "Randy, they didn't want to talk about the church. They didn't want to talk about the gospel. They didn't want to talk about my sermon. They didn't want to talk about the youth program or the children's ministry." He said, "All they wanted to know is, tell me about those people. Is that what they do every week? Is that the kind of folks you have in your church?" And they were fascinated with the anger and the hostility in those three people. And here's what the minister told me. He said, "Randy, those three people had no idea of the spiritual damage they did, all because they felt justified in saying, 'I'm going to vent. I'm going to let people have it, and I'm justified in doing that,' not knowing the spiritual damage." Do you think that couple ever came back?
No.
They never came back to that church. Why? Because of the destructive power of verse 20, man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires.
Well, today on Cross Hope, you're going to hear part 5 of the first message that we gave out of 2 messages on the subject of anger. There's so much material in James. We took 2 weeks to cover it, where James says man's anger does not bring about or produce the righteous life that God desires. So this is the end of part 1. We'll continue with part 2 of this message with a second half next week on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. God bless you as you listen to the end of message 1.
Well, I'm going to have to wrap up early, but I'm going to close with this story. It's one of my favorite stories. I've done my best to find out if this story is true. I've even talked to people from Germany about this story, because it's based in Germany, and they said, "I think it's true." They remember reading about it and hearing about it. When the Berlin Wall was up in the city of Berlin, there were a group of East German people that were wanting to show their hostility toward people on the West Berlin side. And according to this story that I have checked out time and time again, this group of East German people, wanting to show their contempt for people on the West German side, took a garbage truck full of garbage, full of filth. And maybe with the help of the East German guards, through a breach in the wall, they dumped this garbage truck full of garbage on the West German side, as if to say, "That's what we think of you people. You deserve our garbage." A group of people from a church in West Berlin, a Lutheran church as I understand it, got a truckload of milk, dried milk and diapers and canned goods and blankets, and they backed it up a week, 2 weeks later, whatever, to that same breach in the wall, and they neatly stacked the canned goods and all the gifts that they were giving to the people on the East German side. And then in German, obviously, they put a sign up that said, if my memory's correct, "Jeder Mensch gibt, was hat," which means each one gives what he has to give. Each one gives what he has to give. Here's my question. What is it that you have to give other people? You give what's in your heart. Jesus said that we'll give an account someday for every idle word. In fact, Jesus said, "By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be judged." When I hear people say words don't matter, somebody needs to tell the Lord that. We're responsible for our anger. We're responsible for our angry words, and someday we will stand before not a psychologist named Carol Tavares, will stand in front of the Lord God Almighty, Son Jesus Christ, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says to give an account of what we've done. Decide today, with God's help, you're not going to be a person known for his or her anger. You're going to be known for your love. Your love for people, and your love most of all, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray together.
Well, believe it or not, today and all this week, you've been listening to the most requested message that I've ever given on the radio in over 30 years. Not a particularly profound message in my mind or eloquent. Evidently, it struck a responsive chord in a lot of people. We are all the victims of someone else's anger. You are and I am. But we're also victim makers, victimizers of other people. People have been victims of our anger, whether we admit it or not. We continue with a second message right out of the same passage where the book of James talks about getting rid of moral filth and evil that's so prevalent in our lives. There's linkage between the evil and the moral filth that's in your life and my life and anger, believe it or not. We'll talk about that next week on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.